council meeting. I'll start it now. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hawaii Island Burial Council. Today is July 21st, 2022. And we're calling this meeting to order. I would like to ask Uncle Des if you could please open with a pule to start us off, and then we will go right into roll call. But you're muted.
E puli ka ako, nake akua mai, e po mai kai mai, e aloha mai, e malama mai, ia oe, e kako, amene, kau a kau, amene, ho'omaka.
Amene.
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 All right, let us begin with Scott. We can introduce ourselves, the members, and then Shifty staff.
I was wondering if the new guy, Traven, should be introduced first, because then he can be part of the quorum, right? Because right now, I don't know if he's like actually a member yet.
I think he is. But yeah, let's start with Traven first. Go ahead, Traven.
Aloha mai kakou. My name is Traven Apiki, son of Lionel Apiki and Donna Brock Schmidt. My Apiki side comes from Kau, but I've been living in Hilo. Graduate of UH Hilo and a Haumana of the Halaunu Lau. Last like 3 years been volunteering with Ship D. In the last 10 years, been working with Haumana to Malama family archaeological sites, as well as family graveyards down in the Kau area of Hilea. And so it's an honor to be here with you guys on the council, and very humbling to be able to assist our EV coupon in an even bigger way.
Welcome, Traven. So glad to have you.
Yeah, welcome, Traven. Scott Mahoney, representing Kau.
Uncle Des, Kau.
La Crivello, large landowner.
You muted, Galena.
Galena Blakemore, representing Puna. Is that all we have for right now? And then Waiola Higa will be coming shortly. We'll let him in. Say hi when he pops in. Okay, and now let's go to Shifty staff.
Okay. Burial site specialist. Christian Omarad, burial site specialist.
I saw one of our others. Oh, there she is.
Hi, Tiana Lazarus, shifting office assistant.
Aloha and good morning, everyone. So today is a new day. We have new people, and a few people have left our council, and it's a joyful day where we get to elect a new chair and a vice chair. So that is next on our agenda, and I would like to nominate Scott Mahoney, if I can, as chair. We got a second for Desmond. Is there anybody that would like to discuss or have comments, or I don't know how we go into who the vice chair will be, Kea. If it's a two for one where we do it together or what?
You guys can do it however you want, or you guys can just vote on making Scott chair, and then move on to vice chair the same way we did the chair, and then vote on that.
Okay, that sounds good. So if there's is there any discussion on who was nominated, Scott Mahoney, as our new chair? From our council? Okay, let's call for the vote. All those in favor of having Scott Mahoney be our new chair, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
One, two, three, four. I think that's five, Kia. We all voted.
Yeah, 55.
Okay. All right, so we have approved that Scott Mahoney will be our new chair. Yay! Thank you.
I'd like to add to that. I'd like to add to that Mr. Mahoney control his emotions. And, refrain.
I like to ask Kale to replay the recording of Desmond and Capono a few years back.
No, I requested that be deleted. All right, let's stick to the agenda here. Let's stick to the agenda.
Okay, so can I turn it over to our new chair then? Kaya?
Yeah.
Yeah, I turn this ship over to you, Mr. Mahoney. Thank you. On.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Kalina as remaining as the vice chair.
Second.
That was fast.
I'm racing you, Uncle Des.
You beat me. I call for the vote. How's that one?
Yeah. Any discussion?
She can all get right. Emotional. We let her be emotional. That's fine.
Okay, call for the vote. All in favor? Say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Okay, so moved. Okay.
I think with a new member, we have to behave ourselves, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Only for a little while, though.
Only.
Okay. The first thing I guess we're going over is the minutes. Approval of the minutes of April 21st, 2022. Do we have to make a motion to approve them, or what? How do you do this?
I move to approve. I move to approve the minutes of April 21st.
Second.
And May 19th. Can I do that?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Okay. I move to accept the minutes as reflected in this draft minute, April 21st, 2022, and May 19th, 2022.
A second.
In the discussion?
Yes. Only on the April 21st meeting in the minutes, I noticed we had a couple people leave, and it was noted in the minutes, and it makes it really hard when they're doing the minutes for us, or we're taking a vote to know who is present as burial council members. So I just wanted to ask that if we're going to leave and we're doing a virtual meeting, could you guys just put in the chat, oh, I'm leaving, I got to go do blah, blah, blah. And then there's a time stamp on it, and it can tell Kaya whether we had quorum and what time you came and left. It'll make it so much easier for the minutes. Mm-hmm. That is my only comment, and I think both the minutes look good. Thanks.
Okay, so the minutes for both dates passed, right? Moving on to my question to Kaya is, can you approve the minutes if you weren't present? Can anybody do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Anyway, let's move on to the business. The first one coming up is Descendancy recognition application of Hannah.
Yeah, Uncle Scott, if I can interrupt really quick. Right, some of these descendants are not here. So maybe Chris can let you know who's here and who's not, and that way you don't have to, you know, read through them if they didn't end up. Okay. Some of them told them they weren't able to make it today. So maybe Chris can let you know really quick which ones are not here, and we can just defer them off the agenda for now until the next meeting.
So item A for Hannah, she couldn't make it. And then items C through G couldn't make it.
C through G or C and G?
C through G. So they're all one family. But in the beginning of the month, they asked me if they could go into the August meeting. Yeah.
Thank you, Christian. So do we need to motion to defer? Then,
yeah, if you guys want to do a mass motion to defer all of them, and that way Uncle Scott doesn't have to read through all those agenda items only to say
hold on though, you know, according to the AG, these people have applied and have been recommended for whatever cultural or lineal that they've been.
Yeah.
You know, we took it on the responsibility a while ago, which I didn't really agree with, that they had to be there. So even like right now, even though these people are not here, they still can be voted in as, yeah, as lineal or cultural. So yeah, that's my stand on that. So if we can do that, I really like to follow, because it seemed like they followed all the procedures that they're all recommended and approved by SHPTI. So I think we can just follow right down the line. It'll make things a lot easier for them and us.
Does the Ohana, is the Ohana okay with that? As long as they're okay, they don't want to be here for it, then I think that's all good. I agree with Uncle Scott. As long as the Ohana's, sometimes they want to come and they want to talk to us a little bit. So that's the only reason I would differ.
Go ahead, Dan. Dan, you had a question?
Yes, aloha. I do know that unfortunately the family members do have some family emergencies and could not make it. So that's why they postponed it. As far as I do know that some of them do want to be recognized at the meeting, and some would, you know, would be okay with not. I just don't know who. I'm sorry, if at this point, don't know.
So if we defer all of them and some they don't need to come, but the Ohana that wants to come, is that something that the council, we all feel comfortable with? Main thing is that if they wanted to tell us anything or share anything, and they that was important to them to be here for this.
Yeah, I do know a few. Auntie Rose and Auntie Miley would want to just speak on their behalf. But the rest, I think they're okay. But I will talk to them this afternoon.
You guys can also go ahead and recognize them. And if they want to come back next month to talk, I can put them back on the agenda for information and discussion.
Thank you.
I make a motion to accept their application here at the council today and be allowed to revisit at another time. Is that appropriate? I know Hannah personally. I work with her at Commitment Schools, and I know of this family very well. So,
yeah, I second that.
Okay.
So I'm going to my plan right now is to go right down the line, and like you said, if they want to make comment on discussing whatever they want to discuss, they can make a on the next meeting and come in and give the Manao or the whatever they want to say about it. So at least they can get on record as being recognized as little culture or whatever. So I'm going to take item A and start with her. The Zenzi recognition application of Hannah H. Velorio to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Mary K. Hannah Hale, Peter K. Hale, Grace N. Kapuwai, Jose Inai, Eunice K. Keai, located at Keai Alaka, Apua, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, parentheses 3-1-3-008:003. Any discussion on that? Okay, would someone like to make a motion to accept as the SHPTI recommendation is lineal?
I would like to make that recommendation. I'd like to make that motion to recognize her as a lineal descendant.
I second that.
You muted this.
I think there's a motion on the floor to accept at this point. I made a motion earlier to accept all of it.
Oh,
so yeah. Go ahead and read it into the record. If not, I need to withdraw the motion.
Yeah, I think so, because only because we're taking them one at a time now. We was sort of like going to defer them all and stuff like that. So, yeah, but you can take that off. That'd be great.
For the record, I withdraw my original motion then, which is fine. Okay.
So the motion is to accept Hannah as a lineal descendant of the remains of that I just mentioned.
Second.
Was there a second? I'll second it.
Yeah. Okay, discussion. Vote.
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor? Okay, aye. Unanimous. La, did you vote? Sorry, I never watch.
I did, yeah.
Okay, good.
I said aye.
Okay, so the Lino descendant has been approved by the board and by Shifty for Hannah H. Valoria to be recognized as a lineal descendant. Okay, moving on to the next items. Because these are all agendized items, B, C, D, E, F, and G, I like to suggest if somebody could make a motion to join all these applications into one, since they all refer to one burial sites.
I move to accept as described by the chair, Mahoney.
A second.
All right, great. So I'll be reading. So we agree on that, right? Okay. So I'll be reading it all out with one name. I mean, all the names for just one of these, whatever the application is for. So I'll read them all. This is for descendancy recognition application of Keloa N.C. Kramer, Spencer P.K. Kramer, and Shiloh H.K. Kramer, Rosemary Albert, Miley L. Albert, Leilani R. Peterson, Nicole L. Peterson, and Dakota W. Peterson. With a Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Kule Kamoi, Samuel William Kamoi, and Leilani Pansi Kamahele, located at Maku Aapua, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK parentheses 3-5-010:009. So I'd like to make a motion to accept all of these as lineal, which was recommended by Shifty.
Was Dakota W. Peterson included?
What was that? Sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay. I was just wondering if we wanted to hear from Kealoha Kramer first for testimony since he's present.
And we sorry, Ron.
Yeah, maybe their family can give us some history of all the ohana we're just lumping together.
Yeah, speak up.
Mahalo for being here.
Never hey, now, Kramer, hey, Avivi.
Come here, buddy.
No, hello, everybody. Just thank you for the privilege to be here and to speak on my family's behalf. I cannot.
Oh, we lost him.
Yeah, he froze.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, sorry, technical difficulties on Maui.
Go ahead, Diane.
Aloha, I'm the mother of Kealoha Kramer. Oh, there he is. Okay, good. Phew.
All right, everybody hear me and see me, all right? I think I got disconnected for some reason.
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I just wanted to thank you guys for this opportunity. My mom is Diane. I currently live on Maui with my two kids. My son is right here. He rather played than be recognized by people. But I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to say something. This is really important to my family and future generations to recognize this. But what I remember growing up, so I'm the great, great, great grandson of Samuel Kamoi and Kuile Kamoi. And I remember their granddaughter, who's my great grandmother, Teresa Kamahele. We would always be going down there for whatever family gatherings and whatnot. It was always a place of gathering. So I remember going fishing. I remember going to the tidal ponds. And my children have had the opportunity to visit these places. And I just hope they never forget. And that's why exposure to and remembrance of these areas and to know the stories that go behind it and to make their own memories is important for me. So that's all what I really wanted to say. But I thank you guys for your time and consideration with all of this.
Mahalo, kilo. I think one important point for all of these people applying for lineal or cultural is that you gotta accept the kuleana that goes with these sites. You cannot just say I'm lineal to that grave site. You know, you gotta go over there and malama. You gotta go over there and visit. You gotta go over there and teach your kids. You know, I see in La Ie, they take all the whole La Ie town to the graveyards. And they give them all projects of learning the history of all those graves. So, I mean, it's not that you don't have to be that in debt, but, you know, my point is you if you take the kuleana of being somebody to that Evie, you know, make sure you follow through and hopefully your kids and their grandkids and all that, it just keeps going. But anyway, that's just my mind all. Okay, so we approved and accepted all of these from B through G as lineal descendants. All right. Okay, is we good on that, right?
Did we vote? We had a motion and a second. Did we vote? Okay, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, me either.
Oh, no, okay. didn't vote yet. Didn't vote yet.
Okay, sorry. Good loss.
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Yeah, aye. Go for the vote. Unanimous. Okay, great.
And without any emotions.
No, but anyway, moving on to items H and I. I if someone could make a motion to combine these two. That'd be a good thing because they deal with the same remains and stuff. So would someone like to make a motion to join H and I?
Yeah, I moved to join H and I into a single thing.
Hello, this is Diane McHugh. I'm the descendant for the family, the couple in the family, for H and I and the rest of them, you know. My sister is supposed to be on or is waiting for Jordan or Christian to accept her to come on so she can talk.
I'm on, Diane. I'm on. And John okay. is here too. John is here too.
Good. Okay, sorry. You can continue.
So for H and I, Can I actually make, rather than just joining them, make a motion to, based on the recommendation of Shipti, to accept the descendancy applications of Albert L. Reyes Jr. and John K. Reyes Jr.?
I second that.
What was the motion for? What are you doing, Law?
To accept.
Oh, okay.
Based on the recommendations from Shipti to accept the application of Albert L. Reyes Jr. and John K. Reyes Jr. as lineal descendants to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the lake location mentioned in the agenda.
So we're joining both these agenda items. Okay, yeah, great. Super.
I think my nephew John would like to say something. Is that okay?
No, great. Go ahead.
I'd just like to correct that my name is not a junior. It's just John K. Reyes.
Thank you.
Okay.
You don't want to be a junior.
Sorry, Ellis. That was my fault. Sorry. I have that changed for the letter.
Okay, did we second that? And second, right?
Yeah, second. Aye.
Okay. Vote. Everybody, aye.
Can we wait and have a discussion first?
Discussion.
I wanted to
well, we're say just there's discussing the joining them, right? We're not actually going through them yet.
Yeah. I think them we just made a motion to accept both of them.
Yeah, oh, to accept. Okay, yeah, yeah. And since we have three of the family members here, and I don't know where they came from to be a part of our meeting, I just want to honor their presence. And if they want to share their story and, you know, how they came to be here, I just want to make sure we honor the family. So I'm happy to approve of this motion, but just want to make sure we leave space for them.
Mm-hmm. Diane, you want to say something?
I just want everybody to know that I'm the great granddaughter for Edward Kapaona, and I'm already a lineal descendancy that you approved the Hawaii Bureau of Consul, and my kuleana has been to do as much research about the Kapaona land in North Kohala, and when I get When I come to Hawaii, I try to also participate in taking care of the burial site, which my mother took us up there to care for the burial site when we were children. So it is a very familiar piece of property for me. And I've got my nephew on, John. And I just want to say right here that, you know, he's from New York and he came all the way to Hawaii, and he took care of all the grave sites and restructured them so they would not wash away. And so I am so grateful for having him be part of this meeting. And I just want to let you know that he's the next generation of the Kapaona family. Okay.
Thank you for the kind words.
Oh, thank you, John.
I do have a question for Kayla.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we have agenda item I, which is John K. Reyes Jr., and then we have agenda item M for John Reyes. And they appear to be different TMKs, but is it the same person? Yeah. No, it's actually different sites. Is it the same TMK? Different TMK, different sites.
Chris
Hunter. Yeah, they're for the same person. It's the first one. I accidentally added Junior.
Okay, so same person, but different sites and TMK.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to clarify.
This TMK is right across the street from the one they just got recognized for.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to recommend to Shifty that that Junior be taken off with the item I, because he's the same person for when it comes to N or M rather, as John Reyes.
Yeah, Chris, I'll reflect that in the minutes, and then Chris will change the paperwork to make sure that the Junior is removed.
Okay, great. So we already voted and discussed and passed the items H to I are accepted as lineal descendants.
Right? I don't think we've formally voted. I think we
voted on motion,
we second, then I asked for discussion, and now we can vote. So we can vote. Aye.
Okay, call for the vote. Aye.
Vote twice.
Okay, great. Do I have to state that they're accepted as lineal, not that we voted on it?
No, I mean, you don't have to. I because I post the audio, I think I'm usually restating motions and confirming all of that is, you know, just for minutes purposes. But because I just post the audio recordings, you know, it'll be reflected that, you know, what was being voted on. So, you know, it's clear that you guys voted to recognize them as lineal descendants.
Okay. Okay, great. Items J, K, L, and M. Again, same sites and wait, hold on. Yeah, same sites, but this is a cultural descendant. But anyway, Lau, would you like to make a recommendation like you did with the last two for these four?
Sure. I motion to accept the descendancy recognition applications of Raynette Fukui, Diane McHugh, Albert Reyes, and John Reyes to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Honomoka'u. I recommend them as cultural descendants based on Chip D's recommendation. So a motion to accept.
Any second?
Four items.
Yeah. Second?
I'll second. Uncle Dez is eating.
Any discussion? anyone want to make comment on this cultural descendancy, the ones that are here?
Yeah.
Like Diane and stuff?
This is Diane.
Yeah.
Our application shows lineal. And SHIP has decided that we can only have cultural. So maybe if they can explain that to us, that would be wonderful.
I would think this is an unidentified burial sites.
Yeah.
You don't have a direct connect to a grave or a stone. This is a unidentified in your Aupua. And that's all usually end up as culture. But if Shifty wants to expound on that, they can.
I get what you're saying, that it's unidentified because all of the burial, the grave sites are under the school. So I have been investigating where the burial plots could have been. I found some maps and things of that sort. So I'm good with the cultural at this time until we find or something gets uncovered, unfortunately, and can determine us as lineal, because our three-time great-grandfather and the original awardee of this land is buried there at the school, as well as my two-time great-grandfather.
Could you Diane? So you had mentioned under the school?
Under the school, or so on the grounds of which we, you know, unless somebody does excavation, we won't find any of the bones.
Do you have any sort of written, public, otherwise record of the identified burial? You know, so there's not much of a difference. It doesn't make you more or less a descendant, right? Cultural and lineal. Lineal is basically saying we have identified this individual. We have identified the relationship. And so we are descendants of this person. Cultural is we are from this Ahupua'a. We cannot identify the individual, but we can show that we have a connection. So what I am thinking when you're talking about this is if you can have some sort of, if you can, in your research, or if you already have it, some sort of specific record that says this person was buried here and you can show that, that to me sounds very substantial for becoming recognized as a lineal descendant to that identified individual. And that that would be where I'd ask Kea and Chris, what more does she need to provide you with for that type of recognition, so that they can, after we can recognize you as cultural, and then if you can provide them guidance on that, Kea or Chris.
I have a question. So then I have a question. So we have death certificates for both William and Daniel that says they're buried in Honomoka'u, and that was Helu 2770. So that is not enough, sufficient in documentation?
Generally, no. You know, they're for lineal descendant, you know, what we look for is it needs to be specific set of remains. And so, you know, I mean, this might not be the best example, but if there were two burials within 10 feet of each other and you didn't know which one was which, you know, that means you can't identify the specific person. How big is the TMK, or how big is the LCA?
It's 20 acres.
Yeah, you know, that's a big acreage, you know, so multiple mm-hmm. people could be buried on 20.
Oh yeah, 20 acres. Sure.
And
yeah.
So, you know, you would have to identify, yeah. You know, if you can say which one is, you know, you would have to be able to identify somebody specifically on that TMK. But, you know, I think well, Chris was working on your application, so he might be the better person to talk to. But in general, you know, if you can, kind of like what Law was saying, if you can provide something substantial that shows, you know, you can identify somebody on the TMK, then that might be sufficient to come back to the council. And the other thing is that, you know, I want to remind the council does have the final say on what you guys get recognized as. And so, you know, if you provide something substantial for them to review as well, if they agree that that's sufficient, then, you know, that'll work.
Good law.
Right now, the only thing I'm thinking of that would be, especially if the LCA is 20 acres, the one thing I'm thinking of that feels substantial to me that, you know, I don't know how often we can even do this, but things like coordinates. Where this is where the school is, this is where the burial was, the relative, and maybe not exact coordinates, but relative location, or something that mentions that they were buried in this place specifically, and that the school was built on top, or in that area. That's something that would start to feel, within a 20 acre LCA, that's what would be in my mind, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about the fact that they're not going to do excavations. So they're not going to pinpoint exactly where these burials are also. But if you can show something like that seems substantial. 20 acres is fairly large. So we have ohana who have ties to an ahupua'a, whose ohana are buried in an ahupua'a, but that typically isn't connecting them to a specific burial. So that's, and there's no difference. You're still a descendant. I think that's something that needs to be emphasized. Cultural and lineal, it's not a hierarchy. It's just a different way of categorizing and identifying what type of descendant and what process has been gone through already. So definitely don't take the acceptance of you as cultural descendants as either discouraging or discrediting in any way. You're still a descendant. Oh. And there's no difference.
Thank you. Another way is oral history. So if your great grandmother took you to this grave, you know, even though it's unmarked and put flowers on it, and all the oral history plays an important part on proving. You don't have to have like a written plot written out and stuff like that, but oral history is important too. My concern is when people, I mean, we all want to think we belong to all these EVs, especially if they're around our family, right? But the concern is this, is that if that EV is not yours, and you, and down the line, when a descendant decides to remove the EV and place it another place, then, you know, you run into problems like that. That's why the lineal, they want you to have a direct line to that gravesite or that EV, you know. So, but like I said, you know, if you guys, you're talking about your great grandfathers and all this other stuff, the oral history might help you prove. And like Law said, there's no hierarchy on this cultural or lineal. We all, and even the borough council can say whatever they want to say too. So, yeah. So, I think that's an important point. If you want to be lineal, you know, you have to try your best to know that that's your relatives or your ancestors.
This is Diane. I just want to say something really quick. I did find the TMK map for the cited TMK for cultural descendancy. And within that map, they have another TMK for a cemetery plot that is right in the middle of the school. And but there's no, it's just grass. No one put anything around it. No one did anything. In recent years, we did find bones and they did call a couple in a family, and we did go there and decided that the bones needed to go, you know, back into the grave site, and nothing happened. We didn't want them disturbed. So this is what I've got so far, as well as census that show that my 3-time great-grandfather and 2-time great-grandfather lived on this land before the land was taken away in the late 1890s after the overthrow of the royal family. And this land went into public trust at that time. So that's kind of the history behind our family land in North Kohala, in this particular one. And you know, the school is there. We can't do anything about it. But what we already have approached the Department of Education and asked them to recognize the Kapa'una family and our lineal, you know, grave sites, our iwis that are on that property. And so that's what we've done so far, because that's all we can do now. You know, it's not going anywhere. I graduated from that school.
That's strong evidence right there, what you just described. You know, like Scott was saying, it's to preserve, if in case the school gets taken away again, that the EV is protected. And I think that's what you just presented orally is important to know. I'm pretty sure maybe the school has records of what they did, the work that was done there. I'm sure there's some kind of work, some kind of documentation that, yes, this happened. This was identified way before you came on board to be lineal or cultural. But that's for me, that's really strong evidence.
That's part of our research, I think. No, Diane, that's what my sister is doing. It's an ongoing project for us to, you know, this research. But
right. And the more evidence you can build, and that's what the chair is talking about. And it, because it goes beyond us, it goes beyond you into our mo'os that follows. So just to help them along to follow that pathway, I think it's very important. And by the way, Uncle Norman, aloha, see? Uncle Norman is eating too.
Okay, La. Great, La.
Okay, thank you.
That being said, you know, again, the more, as Uncle Des and Uncle Scott said, the more information, the better. And when you do come back, you know, Kayla and Chris, they know what they're doing. They're very, very ma'a to this kind of research. So they're very supportive. So trust them to support you through this process. Trust them to give you the information that you need to get, you know, get your paperwork in order, and trust them to guide you into becoming recognized properly. Because we trust them. That's, you know, they provide us recommendations and we trust them. We don't often go against what they recommend. That being said, if you feel at a certain point that you've done everything you can and you do feel that you are, you should be recognized in a way, in a manner that they maybe don't recommend to us, you can also, you know, we can go over all of the paperwork that you, all the supporting documents ourselves as council members and make a decision that way. And again, what it sounds like is there are no lineal descendants. Nobody has been recognized as lineal to these Iwi Kupuna and these Pa'ilina. So that being said, again, it's not a hierarchy. You're a cultural descendant, you're a lineal descendant, you're a descendant. These are your ties, and you're still included in all consultation, all processes. And at the end of the day, it really, even if you get recognized as a descendant, that's not what matters, right? What matters is your pilina to these pa'ilina, and the fact that you keep going back and you keep maintaining those relationships. So don't, you know, we did make a recommendation, or we did make a motion to accept you as cultural, and it's not any less significant. You're a descendant, and that's what matters. And so I really want to emphasize that, because sometimes we get so caught up on these Western terms that categorize us. But we're same all around. So.
Yeah, and we're here for you, yeah. And what you just described, it's on record now. You know, it's really important. So you have some kind of, you're building a foundation as you get nearer to being lineal, if you can find that. But mahalo for that. That's why it's important to show up.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a 3-year journey for us as a family, my sister and I, and enlightening and wonderful to know about our ancestors, that when we grew up, we never knew any of this. So. Yeah. It's very exciting for us. So,
yeah, this site is that's on in Koala School.
Correct.
Yeah, I went with Auntie Maxine. We went, and all your family was there. Like, it's right in the middle of buildings, right? And that's how they discovered it, right? When they were making a new section or that gym, I now I understand. Yeah, mm-hmm. how you can. You can consolidate all your family, because it seemed like they all were grouped in that one little area that's in between. And I guess they found somebody else under the gym once. This is a while ago, though. But anyway, yeah. Law said, Yukuliana is the Ibian cultural lineal. You know, is still has a big importance on that. So
I remember going to
discussion.
Well, I remember going to Koala, visiting with my Moku family, my Harris Moku and my auntie Vivian Villamil, who were teachers there. We used to go and play at the school. I always used to say, don't go over there. Get Obake over there. But, you know, so I remember those.
We know Harris very well. Harris and Vivian. No, yeah. Good friend, good family friends. Very good family friends. So mahalo for everything. For your time and your consideration.
Take a vote. Ready for the vote? All in favor of accepting Renette Fukui, Diane McHugh, Albert Reyes, and John Reyes as cultural descendants to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. Located in the Honomaku, Aupua, North Koala District. Raise your hand, sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay, that's passed. Thank you very much, Diane and Rose. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So can we leave now?
Are we
done?
No,
no.
You can.
Okay, aloha, everybody.
Aloha.
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 Aloha. Okay, the next item on the agenda is N, discussion of Hawaiian Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities, information, and discussion. I think I'm going to take the time just to explain the way I look at being the chair of the Borough Council. I think it's important that I state this, because over the last couple of years, we sort of got, well, anyway, I'm not going to go in there, but anyway, to me, my number one concern is the EV. My concern is not between family members arguing this, or, you know, leave them in or take them out and all these other kinds. My only concern is the EV. So once we start discussing, and especially if things get heated, if I realize that the discussion is not about the EV, it's about other things, then that's going to end. So number one, we only care about the EV. Okay. The other thing is, as chair, there is no legal advice going to be given. We was given legal, well, not we, Desmond and his another guy was giving legal advice like crazy. We do not give legal advice. That's why we had an AG, you know, and if you guys have questions that we cannot answer, I will take that question to the AG and come back with the answer. All right, that's another important point. And the most important point, because I seen like, I mean, we had full-on brawls. I mean, guys threatening parking lot area. Even I think Maxine was going on into the parking lot. She was crazy. Everybody, we all had discussions, heated discussions that got carried away. I plan to take full control of these meetings, especially when it gets heated. We gotta be respectful of each other. And if we gotta take a timeout, we're taking a timeout and calm down. Okay, another important point. This is for Desmond. Stay on point. Do not start going all over the place. I don't need a cultural tour, or I don't need this and that, but just everybody stay on point. And that way we're gonna get to what we're here for. And that's to take care of the EV and settle our borough council meeting agenda. Okay. Other than that. Thanks for nominating me as chair. And I know I screwed up all day. And lucky thing I had Kalana, Diz, and Love correcting me. I keep forgetting when the motion and discussion and votes and all that. But anyway, hopefully I'll learn along the way and we can get things done that we should do. Any discussion on that? Oh, go ahead, Law.
I did on one of those points you mentioned, I was wondering if we are, I understood that for the council for a while, prior to me even being on the council, when testimony comes in, it's kind of, you know, we give them the table, we allow them that opportunity to speak. Do we as a council want to start, maybe not sitting here with a timer, but tentatively managing the amount of time for testimony and encouraging people to come to the council for the meeting ready to discuss whatever it is for their testimony, you know, coming prepared with something that fits within that time frame tentatively? I know there's some councils and commissions, they're literally timing you, and I don't really support that concept of having something buzzing off on you when you're speaking, especially for burial council where we have really emotional testimony for good reason. But do we want to kind of revert back to the actual, you know, rules of the amount and discuss a time frame that we feel is appropriate for people to give testimony? Or do, you know, we've had testimony that are like 45 minutes and they get sidetracked and then we kind of lose the essence of what they're trying to speak about. So I was wondering about that. And if we want to talk about it further in the next meeting or anything like that, I'm not sure how everyone feels.
I think as a chair, that's the chair's responsibility to keep everything in line. I don't know about giving one time limit because, you know, these people taking their time to come in and discuss what they think is important. You know, it's just, I think as a chair, you know, it's my job to sort of like, you know, push them back in line and move them straight, I mean, you know, in a straight line. And sometimes, I mean, like, I've been along to a lot of other meetings and especially with testimony, they can get, you know, emotional and carried away. But at that point, you know, I that's the time, you know, you almost got to let them talk because, you know, but maybe a time limit might be good, but, you know, we can discuss that whenever we're going to have a oral testimony or even written testimony. Anyway, our discussion or anybody have views on that? Go ahead, Kalina.
I don't think I would necessarily think we need to have a time limit right now, especially now that we have new members and a new chair that can really direct more forcefully than we had in the past. I think it's really important for the people that come forward to give their testimony. But I do agree when people get off course, off agenda, and they start off on a whole nother, you know, line of attack on somebody that has nothing to do with them being recognized or start picking fights and poking, you know, pointing fingers, definitely have the hammer come down on that. But I think we have a good chair that's really strong, and I really like to respect the people that come and give their testimony and really give them the space, because they're already kind of scared to come before the burial council because it's unknown and intimidating, and just to present a nice platform for them where they feel safe and they're not going to have that little timer of sand, you know, dripping, and we go, okay, game over now, you're done. I just I like to maybe let our chair manage if something starts to go beyond where we need to go. That's just my thoughts.
One thing we got to remember too is when we're dealing with these barrels, it can get emotional. You know, we had one with the one daughter when it had to go against her whole family. That was an emotional, you know, and another one we just had with two cousins was going after each other. And luckily you guys like this, you know, he can, you know, talk to him and stuff like that. So he brought it down a lot, and Kalena too. But you know, we just gotta remember, and it goes back to me taking on this Kuleana to control that emotion and make sure we're moving forward in the direction that we started the meeting off with. So anyway. Anybody else? Go ahead, Wayola, even though you're late.
I kind of agree with Kalena. We got to play it by ear. Some people are going to stay on task, and they're going to say what they need to say. But there are going to be times when you have to rein some people in because they just keep on going. I understand that, but I kind of agree with that. But play it by ear.
Anything else? Moving right along here.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say you guys can feel free to ask me questions again if you guys ever have questions on anything. I know in the past I stopped answering any questions, but if you guys have any questions on, you know, anything, feel free to ask me. I turn off my camera sometimes, but I'm usually sitting right here watching, and so I'll come on.
Yeah, well... I know Kale's been a great source of advice and stuff. When I need questions, I always call him, and he's always there to answer. So, like he said, you know, the floor is open to all of you. And cool, you can call me too if you want to. Unless you like grumble, then call up Desmond. Okay, communications.
I think Uncle Norman gets a question.
Kale?
I think Uncle Norman Young.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead. You're muted. Norman, you're muted.
Let me see if I can unmute him myself.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry that I jumped in late, and I think I missed some very important things. I think I missed Mahoney's election to be our chairman, our next chairman for the next 3 years. I think Scott would make a good chairman. You know, he can control the tempo. And, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And, so I'm glad the board made a good decision. I also understand that we have some new members that, you know, came on board. So if that is true, can I be introduced to them?
Yeah, the new member is Trayvon Apiki. You can introduce yourself again, Trayvon.
Aloha, Uncle. I'm Trayvon Apiki.
representing Hilo District. And go ahead.
I'm glad to see new members. We still short on members. We got a pretty good body, but we still need more involvement. Good people. So I'm glad you're on board, bro. Hello, thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Norman. The communications.
So the next item, the communications A, that's Sarah Wilkinson. She's here in the meeting. Sarah, were you gonna do a share screen or anything?
I'll try in a minute here, I think. aloha kakou. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah Wilkinson. I work for Cultural Surveys Hawaii in our Hilo office. I'm joined today by our project manager, Bill Folk. So thank you very much for having us. We wanted to come today to give you some information and talk a little bit about a preservation plan that we're working on for the County of Hawaii. Can everybody hear me okay? My connection is not always great at home.
Yeah, go ahead. You good?
Okay. So we're working on a preservation plan for Richardson Ocean Park. We completed an AIS. It was finalized in 2019 for an improvements project at the park. It's primarily ADA improvements, and they're focused around the Richardson Ocean Center, which is the historic Richardson home. Let's see if I can. Get that up here. I have a map that shows the limits of the project. Can everyone see? Okay. So the blue outline here is the Richardson Ocean Beach Park property boundary. The red shape in the middle there is the footprint for the improvements project that the county is presently working on. So during the AIS, we documented seven historic properties surrounding or within the park surrounding the improvements project area. There are no, impacts to those historic properties from this project since they're outside of the project area limits. However, the county committed to preserving those seven historic properties in a preservation plan. There are no other projects currently planned out anywhere else in the park. So these seven historic properties include SIHP number 50103530507, which is located on the eastern side of the park here in the forest area, that's close to the condominiums that bound the property there to the east. The AIS report describes this historic property as a circular stone alignment that represents a possible historic grave. I'm sharing now the map that we drew of the site. Yes. So you can see it's an alignment of stones that are fairly flush with the ground, one course of stones, so no stacking. It's a pretty marshy area. There's a fish pond located just mauka, and it's very overgrown. At one point, a lot of green waste is being dumped in this area. We did quite a bit of consultation for this project going back to 2007 or 8 when we did a cultural impact assessment. We did additional consultation in the AIS. It's fairly common knowledge or what's the word I'm looking for? there's a lot of folks who are adamant that there is a burial, a historic grave site associated with the David Malo family in this location. David Malo, second wife was Lucy Kamehaiku. So some testimonies indicate that, you know, the burial was actually a Kamehaiku burial. In the AIS, we consulted with David Malo's granddaughter. She was the eldest daughter of David Malo's eldest son, John David Malo. Her name is Geraldine Myrna Keikilani Malo Johnson. She spent a lot of time on the property visiting her grandparents at their home there, David Malo's home. She later on in life, she and her siblings stayed in the Richardson's boathouse until it was destroyed in 1946 by the tsunami. Her father worked for George Richardson for many years. So she has a really intimate knowledge of the property. And she's very adamant that there were no graves in that area. There were some Evie encountered on the property next door when the condominiums were constructed. And at that time, Auntie Edith Kanaka'ole was involved in helping ensure that those Evie were reinterred elsewhere. Our understanding is that they are at the graveyard at Onikahakaha Beach Park down the road. So because of this uncertainty and because of our, you know, desire not to disturb anything by excavating in this area, we worked with the burial site specialist at the time, Regina Hilo, and she guided us to record this as a possible burial site. So again, you know, the county has committed to preserving this site. There's no plans to do any kind of work in this area. It's generally outside of, you know, foot traffic in the park. It's very overgrown. There's a lot of fire ants in there. It's not really a place that, you know, folks tend to go into. So we have provided, and I think it's probably been passed along to folks, the final AIS, a link to that. And then, you know, the consultation letter that we prepared recently for the burial council. So we're interested in, you know, you folks comment or feedback as we prepare the preservation plan for all of these seven historic properties, but, you know, specifically this possible burial site. So I'm, you know, feel free to ask any questions or, you know, let me know what thoughts you folks have. We'd really appreciate that.
Go ahead, Norman.
Yes. I just want to be put on record that David Malo is a patriot of my family. He was born on my property in Keoho for years and years and years. Bishop Estate was looking for the birthplace of David Malo. So he is a direct lineal descendant of mine. So I just wanted to be put on the record on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Go ahead, Treven.
Mahalo for bringing up the research you did into the Malo family and descendants and talking with them. I was curious if you've done any additional ethnographic studies with other families that were in the area and other possible descendants of this possible gravesite.
We have talked to some other members of the Malo family. We've spoken with Kale Gumapak, who's mother was Rose, Auntie Rose, or I'm sorry, his grandmother, or Kalena, if I got that wrong, please correct me. He is a family descendant, and we did speak with him in the AIS. We have the results of those conversations with him there. He also came out to the site with us. We also interviewed Nicole Louie, who is a descendant of the Kamehaiku Ohana. There was another granddaughter who we talked with in the cultural impact assessment. I'd have to double check her name. I don't want to get it wrong, but so, you know, we've definitely going back to the CIA, put in, you know, a considerable effort to reach out to potential descendants and, you know, try to gain new contacts that we weren't aware of before. In terms of ethnographic research, we haven't done, you know, an ethnographic type study beyond the culture impact assessment, but, you know, we did do quite a bit of background research for the CIA and the AIS.
Go ahead, Kalena. You had a question, Kalena.
No, I just had a comment. I too, like Uncle Norm, I trace my descendancy to Lucy Kamehaiku. She's my great aunt. And Kale Gumapak is my cousin. Lucy's his grandmother. And I know from family reunions and many family reunions that that isn't a possible burial. It is a burial. And I've been trying to work with him to gather documents so that he can find out exactly who it was that is buried there. There's a couple. I think there were a couple of family members, young family members that died and were buried there. And thank you guys for doing the work that you've done, Sarah and Bill, for your AIS. I think it's really helpful, and I'm glad that the footprint was reduced for the ADA project so that those burials aren't going to be impacted. And I want to work as hard as I can with my family to make sure that we can produce more information for you in the preservation plan, so we have more, you know, solid information for you guys to put into the preservation plan. Do you know when it's going to be done, and when you, like, is there a deadline where you need some more information?
As soon as possible. We really appreciate that, Kalena. The county, they're trying to, due to funding, they're trying to do this work in parallel with the project that's ongoing. SHPD allowed them to proceed with that work before the preservation plan was complete, since these sites are technically outside of that project area. But given the county's decision to try to do it in parallel, that does, they are asking for a very tight timeline. And, you know, we're trying to honor that as much as possible, but there are some things that, you know, we just have to make sure we're doing carefully. And if that takes time, it just takes time. So, you know, the sooner the better. But, you know, I understand that we've all got, it takes time to get those things together. So.
Law, you have comment? Law?
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah and Bill. I guess I would, you know, reading through the letter and, you know, your request for feedback from us, I think my main feedback, especially after Kalena shared her ties, is that I do understand, you know, in consultation with Geraldine Johnson, she had stated that there were no burials. That being said, it does seem apparent that there are a lot of other descendants who said that it is a burial. And, you know, acknowledging it as a possible burial with the knowledge that most of the a lot of descendants recognize it as a burial, I think the general concept is you treat a possible burial as a burial, right? That being said, if there are descendants who feel that there are no, you know, they don't feel that it's a burial, they may not be involved in the consultation process further. But those descendants who are supportive of the concept that it, supportive of the fact that it is a burial, like Kalena, you know, we can give you feedback on what to do as a burial council, but our general job is to support these descendants. So if you're deciding how to treat this burial moving forward, it should be in direct consultation with those descendants who are invested in the simple fact that it's a burial. So those Ohana members who want to be involved and do view this as a burial and recognize it as such should be the ones making decisions about how you're treating it. So that's my main recommendation, is that if it's a possible burial, I do support the idea of them finding more information to support it as an actual burial, but generally Kalena and the rest of the descendants should be consulted in how you're going to treat it. I don't know if that makes sense. Sorry. A little bit of a ramble.
Absolutely. I think anytime somebody says that, you know, there's definitely no burials, there's burials. You know, you can talk about Kaka'ako, where there was no burials, hundreds and hundreds. You know, Honokohua, thousands of burials. You know, so when they say, they're talking maybe generational, one, two, three generations, but they don't know who was there before them. You know, so so Kalena says, you know, I would treat it as a burial. And if that is a burial, then have you guys reached out to the publications of trying to find cultural descendants? Sarah?
I'm sorry, could you?
Have you reached out to the public? Well, I know you say you spoke to certain people, but what about the broad public, like to publications, to the newspapers or and stuff like that? Have you guys done that yet?
We have not.
It's only a preliminary.
No.
Well, that got to get done. Okay, Des.
I just have a question. Did you folks visit with the Kamehaku family, or the Awai family, or the Pakele family that was involved in any research on the aquaculture program there that was growing opihi? There was research on opihi and lobsters, and there was protocol ceremonies there addressing the ibi that's buried there, especially with the Kamehaku family from Kyokaha.
I'm other than Nicole Louis and our interview with Kale, who is a Kamehaku descendant. No, he did describe some of the work that he was involved in back at that time, but didn't point us to any, you know, reports or other folks to speak with.
So you folks didn't visit with the Kamehaku family. Is that correct? Visit Kyokaha today.
It sounds like perhaps not. And that was an issue in the cultural impact assessment, that those folks were not identified somehow. We did, try in the AIS to go back and revisit with the folks we had talked to in the CIA and ask for additional contacts. But some folks may have fallen. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm not finished
yet. If I could interject.
Hold on. Okay, Des, go ahead, finish.
That Richardson Ocean Center, yeah, that's pre-contact, but that place, if the name place is Lele Ivi, which if you can, translate Lele, that was a launching point for many of our ancestors that went home. So that area is, even all the way down to Pumaile, yeah, is known, it's notorious for burial grounds. So if you look at the name place, Lele Ivi, and I know the Kamehaku family, Auntie Annie was one of the caretakers of their property. She was the housekeeper there. So when the aquaculture center, the research with the university where it was started, there was strict protocol with Auntie Edith there and Uncle Papa Henry Hawaii to bless that Ivy that's there. And I know that because I was part of that program with Dr. Dane Silva and with the University of Michigan when they came to do this study. So it would be for my suggestion to visit with the families, not descendants of Kamehaku, but the actual descendants that live in Kyokaha today. That's it. Mahalo.
Go ahead, Bill. You want to speak?
Thank you. If I could go off a tangent for a minute. Sarah, if you wouldn't mind not sharing the screen any longer. I enjoy meeting all the people. Thank you.
Good idea.
And if I might, since I don't, you don't really know me, if I might introduce myself, I'm Bill Folk, local Holly from Kiki, from Tongs, Diamond Head side, and a graduate of the UH at Hill in 1977. So, listening to your comments now, I think probably the best thing that could help us the most is if you could provide us with a list of other family names that either any one of you are familiar with, we would be glad to contact them and try to bring them on to discuss how they'd like to approach the preservation of this burial site. Thank you.
Go ahead, Traven. Oh, okay, yeah, good.
Having known that it was a possible burial site, did you guys go ahead and start to pull together any protection measures for it? And now after hearing Kalena and the oral history from her ohana and hearing that it is a burial site, do you guys have any protection plans in place already for your preservation plan?
So in terms of the preservation plan, we, since those are still in development, I would have to say no specifically in regard to the preservation plan itself. During the AIS, a temporary barrier was erected around the site, orange event fencing. The county was going to maintain around that area and make sure, you know, no more weeds or things like that were placed in that area. I was out there recently and it is incredibly vegetated. There, you know, if the fence is still out there, it probably is underneath all of that vegetation. So at this time, I'd have to say what is protecting it is the vegetation itself.
Go ahead, Law.
With what it sounds like, you just, as a possible burial, I kind of go back to what I said, when you have a possible burial, you treat it like a burial. And when I say that, I mean, at this point, a burial treatment plan. Consultation, and that brings its whole process in. You're looking at short-term preservation measures like the orange high visibility fence, but you're also looking at, with that short-term preservation measure, who is going to be responsible for maintaining that fence and who is going to be responsible for maintaining the area around it. Typically, I think the landowner should be responsible for that because it's their land. And then the ohana are going to kind of be that the eyes, you know, they keep an eye on things, but the landowner should be responsible for maintaining things under the guidance of the descendants. So burial treatment plan calls for that short-term preservation measure. And then the long-term preservation measures, which is something that you both short-term and long-term you're developing with these descendants. And as far as a list from us, I think Kalena is going to be a really great asset to you. So I know she's already noting it and she's going to be communicating with you, but also making sure that you're checking in with her. You mentioned Nicole Louie. She's a genealogist and she's amazing at it. So I know she would have a lot to share with you as far as other family members that would be involved. It's your responsibility to reach out to her initially, and then if she has anything for you, right? You mentioned other ohana, so I would go back to those individuals who were concerned and who identified this as a burial and have a good discussion with them about who else needs to be brought to the table, and then bringing everybody out, doing a site visit, having meetings, more than one meeting, talking about treating it like a burial. Because at this point, you know, most of the time that's what a possible burial is. So that's just something I wanted to emphasize. There's a clear process for what you guys can have to do next and what you should do next, and it all falls under that.
Thank you.
Yes, we agree with you. Thank you.
You know, even putting up like a tent right at Richardson and asking for cultural lineal descendants involved in that area. You know, you need, seem to me, you ask us to give names. I think the effort got to be a lot greater on your end to find out who belongs to that grave. Because like I said, my first concern is the Evie. So like they said, the possible grave is a grave. You know, so might be burial treatment plan is the only way to bring all the things, line them all up in an order. But definitely we need to be more in depth in this whole thing. And even Norman is, I guess he goes back to Malo too. So, you know, all of those families. But, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have the awareness for talk and stuff like that. So, you know, I think a better effort for find out who belongs to there or who's involved in there or whatever, the ancestral site, would be recommended by me to you guys anyway. So, you know, it's just my feelings too. Anybody else? Go ahead, Des.
Yeah, just that I'm surprised that you talked to descendants and not actually going to the Kamehameha family that lives in Kiokaha. George and Davy, you know, their mom used to work at the Hale over there, and just the place name. They name a place because of its significance. And that name should bring up Bell, Lele, Evie, you know, the jumping point for our kupuna. So, I mean, go visit those families, the Awai, Papa Henry Awai's family. I was raised in that area. You know, the Kiokaha families spent many time down there. So I would really do the research that you folks are assigned to do and go visit those families. Go talk to Patrick Kahoola'a, who is the president of the association, who's very knowledgeable with the genealogy there because being raised there.
We did reach out to him. I haven't had a response, but we have it's part of our process to follow up and try to get.
Well, I know that the county refused to even acknowledge back then. So it was, I guess, satisfying, I guess, is the word to know, even though in you have to makavalu this, yeah, that even though some people complain that it's trashed, but it's a level of protection. Because people look at that, it's the kauna, yeah? They look at that, oh, they're using it for trash. But for some of the kupuna, it's okay because nobody's gonna touch it. Until one day someone comes around, like you folks, and decide to go say that it's not burial. Like it's at the burial council, if somebody say it's not burial there, and it is burial there. And I was raised knowing it was in that area because of Pumaile, yeah? When they had to, do all of those when the tidal wave came, what to do with the body. So Lele Evie played an important role in the preservations of Evie Kupuna. How it was processed, it was never shared, but they all went to Lele Evie to do that ceremonies. That's it.
Thank you, Des. Anybody else comments? Go ahead, Trey.
I know Kalena's got a lot of knowledge to share. There's a lot of families in Kiokaha that will have stuff to share. A good contact for you might be Manai Kalua. He's got extensive knowledge of Kiokaha specifically and a lot of the families in there as well. So I just want to add that in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Shifty, yeah. Item B for communications.
For item B, Sophia Hanoa couldn't make it today, so she asked if she can be placed on the next agenda for next one.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, that should do it. Like I said, I'm new. I hope to improve every meeting. So The next thing, announcements. The next HIBC meeting is Thursday, August 18th, 9:30 a.m. And the Zoom information will be sent out later. And I want to thank Kale for sending out the hard copies on today's meeting, because there was a lot of mappings and a lot of agendized items on there. So, you know, my print almost ran out of ink trying to copy all this. But anyway, anybody else? Otherwise, I want to say hello.
Let me just add in a few things for the meeting. So, from what I understand, or from what I was told, we're not going to have meals at least for the rest of this year. They had to restart the paperwork and, you know, put the funds in, and we're working with what is it called, the DAGs, the people that funnel the state departments. So I know our office started the paperwork to start getting meals again. But that, of course, that would be for in person, which is the other thing that when you think you guys are going to start transitioning more to in person, you know, if you guys can just give me a heads up. I mean, we do keep that physical location open every month since I think April we started using that physical location again. But if you guys do think you guys are going to be attending a meeting in person, when I do the quorum check, you guys can just give me a heads up, and that way I can make sure that, you know, the room is organized or you know, whatever needs to be done. And the other thing is, if we're going to kind of keep it more on the Zoom side, I'm going to keep the meetings in Hilo. But if you guys feel the meeting should move to Kona for any reason, you know, if we have multiple Kona items on the agenda and you guys want it in Kona, even if you guys are not going to attend, but you think the meeting might be better held in Kona. I mean, what I mean is, even if you guys are going to attend via Zoom, but you think maybe community members from Kona might want to come out, if you can, you can let me know, and then I can try and, you know, make it in Kona instead. But if not, I'll keep, if we're going to stay more on the Zoom side for now, I'm just going to keep the physical location in Hilo for now.
But Tishima's is in Kona.
Good, La.
Oh, goodness. Tishima's is my favorite. I understand and support, you know, the way Zoom works and how it allows people to participate that are not here, descendants, people that are from out of state. I really, really value that. I also I do value that in-person component, and I think no complaints except if everyone wants to wait till our lunches are come back on. But I do, when the rest of the council feels ready and feels it's appropriate, I am ready to be in person sooner than later. And I definitely value that. I actually haven't even met all of the council members in person. So I think Aloi Kealo is preferable to me. And when we get to a point where it's my cut you to do that for everyone and everyone feels that's what's right, that would be when I feel like that kuapo of Hilo and Kona would be really important, because, you know, we do have a lot coming in from Kohala as well, and from Kau, and they, whichever they feel more ma'a to, you know, but I would like to have it switching back and forth when we're in person, of course, and then when you guys want, I'm ready to be in person, and I can bring everybody to Shima's at least once on my budget.
I move we go Kona next meeting. My chair, you know, before we close, I want to recognize Angela Neller. She's been here at every board meeting. Yeah. And we've never allowed her 2 minutes talk. But I think we should give her a chance to share something, yeah?
Oh, you're muted, Angel.
Oh, yeah. Aloha. No pressure here. I can't see myself, so I don't know where I am. Okay. Hi, I'm at work. I'm just, you know, this is just... burial issues in general have been something that's really important to me. I do genealogy for my family, and I visit my ancestors wherever I know they are, and do that. So it's just been something that's been important to me. I used to work at Bishop Museum, and when NAGPRA got passed, it kind of was something that just, you know, was important. I live in Washington State. I'm the curator for the Wanapum Heritage Center. I work for a Native American tribe, taking care of the collections that we have here and their items. And I also do repatriation work for them too. So I consider it a calling, and it's just been, so I appreciate being able to listen in and learn and get to know everyone. And hopefully one day I can see you all in person if I'm ever back in Hawaii. So we'll see you somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
I'm going to my next meeting be in Washington State.
I like to make a suggestion of, right now, next month, we can go with Zoom. But I think at the end of every meeting, we should all decide if we want to hold it in person. And that way they can make the arrangements for the hall, whether it's in Kona or Hilo. You know, so we can start that moving. I like the in-person stuff too. But, you know, for the convenience of a lot of people, the outside people that coming in for testimony and stuff, it's easier for Zoom. But, you know, we definitely should get back to the normal way we started the burial council. So I think at the end of every meeting, we can say, okay, you know, can we have a meeting next week or next month in Hilo or Kona, and then decide then, and then Kel can set that up.
On that note, we have a lot of kupuna now that's involved in lineal and cultural applications and stuff. So many of them not really computer savvy. Mm. We've had problems in the past with some of our kupuna getting on to, but I can go with that. I can go line with Scott. And Aloha Aloha is my cutty. We can ha.
You know.
Okay, Wayola, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to meet in person too. But maybe we have to decide on that after the agenda is set by Kale. Then we can decide if we're going to meet in person. Because, you know what I'm saying? If we... we could do it the other way. We can say, okay, we're going to have it then. And then everybody who wants to testify, they're told, okay, this is a day you come. But I notice a lot of times the agenda comes out before we even know what we're going to be doing. But anyway, that's just a thought.
Well, if we wait for the agenda to be set, that gives them only days to get the hall ready. And everybody realize what area we're going to. So I think at the end of the meeting, we can all decide, you know, even if it's all Kona business and we go here, we decide to Hilo. That's where we got to go. Okay. Or we can go that way. Good, Norman.
I like the old system that we had. 1 month we go Kona, the next month we go Hilo. For a reason is community can, can come out and listen to things that is about the community. They can represent themselves, and basically that's what the Burial Council is for. For them to be represented in the meetings. And I think because of the Zoom, we kind of got away. The Zoom is good, but we kind of got away from the community. And community is important. You get plenty of information to share with us. And I'd like to see, 1 month, next month, corner. Thank you.
I have a question for Kale. Kale, we can have both here in person and those, and also have Zoom available for those.
So to address some of those concerns. So our meetings right now, so in terms of setting up a location,
right now, the requirement is we have to have a physical location. So Chris is at the DOFA office right now. And so with that, so we already have a location set for every month. With that said, the meetings can be half-half. It can be hybrid. So right now, you know, Kalena and Traven and you, Uncle Dez, all in Hilo, you guys could be at the DOFA office right now while the other members are at home. So it can be half-half. It can be mixed like that. The other thing, too, is that, and I can keep it like that. The other thing is that when you guys do want to set in-person meetings, you know, you can either do it completely in-person where we're not going to have a Zoom component at all. And so everybody's required to attend in person, or you can have it so that it is hybrid. And the other thing is you can alternate that too. So how you guys want to do Hilo Kona, Hilo Kona, you guys can do Hilo Kona Zoom, Hilo Kona Zoom. And even with the Zoom meetings in that rotation, we're still going to have a physical location open. And so it can all kind of be, you know, there's a whole, you know, the way they made it is so that it's really flexible now on how we want to do it. You know, everybody doesn't have to be on Zoom. Everybody doesn't have to come in person. We can mix it up. And the last thing is for the agenda, most times we have an idea by the previous month of what's going to be on the next month's agenda. The agenda doesn't get set till late because sometimes we have last minute items come up. But, you know, most times, like right now, I have an idea of what's going to be on the August agenda. And so, you know, if I forget, you know, you guys can ask, you know, what if I have any idea of what's going to be on the agenda, and I can let you know, and then you guys can decide, oh, maybe we should all go in person for that. Or maybe we, you know, can you make the physical location in Kona for that meeting? And so there's a lot of flexibility right now to how we do the meetings. And so, you know, we don't have to set it one way every single month. We can, you know, kind of figure it out along the way and then see what works.
So if we got the hybrid situation where I come in person, which I plan on doing next meeting, going to Hilo in person, just to start, I like doing that. And maybe I'm the only one there, but we still have access to screens and stuff for the Zoom guys that's not going to be in there?
Yeah, so the
how does that work? Because
Tricky thing that I didn't figure out yet. If we have one person there, it's not, you know, if we have two or three people there, it's not too bad. If we have more than that, it'll be a little bit more difficult because I need to make sure that everybody that's present at the physical location can be captured by my camera here. So right. I think what I can do is just set my laptop further back so that it can reach a wider area, connect the microphones and put the microphones up on the table in front so everybody can be heard. And then I think DOFA said I can connect my computer to the TV so that even though my laptop is 10 feet away from you guys, I can connect it to the TV so you guys can see the screen, you know, my Zoom screen. And so for Sunshine Law right now, all members there has to be a quorum of members present on camera. And so, you know, the audience doesn't have to be shown on camera. Testifiers technically don't have to be shown on camera, but, you know, if I'm setting the laptop far away enough, I can probably capture the whole room in the DOFA office. So we can figure that out. So maybe the next, you know, if there are people that are going to come to a meeting, maybe if we can try and keep it like at three, just for a little trial for the next meeting, and then, you know, slowly work on that and see how we can make it possible so that we can accommodate, you know, any kind of hybrid meeting you guys want to do.
Great. Yeah. Like I said, I plan to go to the hall on next month's meeting. Okay. And I just start that rolling and that way we can work out all the little kinks and stuff like how you screen them and stuff like that. So, you know, at least we get started on that. Go ahead, Law.
I think what I was also picking up on that, I think it's probably important for us to be a little more committed and decisive about this, is that I I know that the reason Kea is making the meetings in Hilo every month is because that's where he is. And so if we're not going to, if he's going to make it in Kona and then nobody shows up or, you know, whatever law, then he's driving to Kona for fun. So yeah. I guess that's where I like the hybrid for, but if, I guess it's, I think long-term figuring out a way to allow people to participate in testimony virtually so that they can participate in testimony from Aina A kind things, that is paramount because we want to provide that space for all descendants, even if they're not here in place. But long-term is kind of where if we can figure out a way to all be in person as council members, that's the complicated part because then Kea has to figure out how to get us all on screen for those people to, you know, virtually. So it almost, I mean, if there's people giving testimony virtually, but maybe we actually make the person that the meetings in person where public have to come in person as well. I don't know how we would manage. It feels a little, it will take us some time to figure out is what I'm getting at or understanding from Kea.
So we can do the, you know, the Hilo Kona Zoom, Hilo Kona Zoom. And that way, you know, if I know somebody's coming on that lives in California or something, I can, you know, if we have that rotation, I can say, oh, that, you know, the next meeting that's going to be on Zoom will be, you know, November's meeting. You know, if it's not something that's urgent, then, you know, hopefully they can kind of wait within that rotation. And so we can do the Hilo Kona mandatory in person. So there's not going to be a Zoom component to it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be Hilo Kona, then the next month will be Zoom. And, you know, you guys can all either come on Zoom or you can come in person. But that'll give the opportunity for those people. And then, you know, the next month it's back to Hilo Kona. And, you know, that can be a rotation too. And that's, you know, we don't have to figure that out now. We don't have to figure that out next meeting. But that is an option that we can kind of put into place long term if you guys wanted to as well.
Yeah, I like that suggestion the best. Go ahead, Kalena.
Yeah, I like the idea that we can invite people from different states into our meetings. And we've seen so many descendants, recognized so many descendants that weren't here. And that is really a great thing to honor the families. And I hate to see that disappear just because we're meeting in person. But maybe too, if it's too difficult to maintain a Zoom kind of link meeting, hybrid meeting, we could also consider letting people phone in. You know, if somebody's calling in from the mainland or Oahu and they can't fly over, that's so expensive, that we can just let them call in and give their testimony as they're still on our agenda. That's maybe another option too.
I would suggest next month we do Zoom then. Okay, and that'll be the start. And then the following week, we schedule Hilo and Kona. We just go in that three-way rotation right from the beginning. But we start off with Zoom. At least we get them started. Instead of going hybrid, maybe, and all these kind of, you know, and if guys got a Zoom, they can come to the Zoom, you know, schedule them hopefully into that meeting. That's my suggestion. So, but anyway, if I see Zoom.
I second the motion.
Yeah, I know that's the way you went. All right, guys. Anybody else?
Yeah, if just a suggestion, because David Malo was brought up, I think if someone, or let's do Na'o Makua for our closing. Just a suggestion. Hello?
Ana Kaladez, Hikia Oeke Ho'omaka.
Ah, oh yeah. Nā makua mai kala hiki a kala ka mai ka hooku i a ka halawai. Nā a makua i a kahina kua i a kahina ana alo. Lā ka a akau i kalani, o kiha i kalani, uwe o kalani, nūnulu i kalani, ka holo i kalani. Eia nā pula pula a oko a ka pae Hawaii. E mālama oko i a mako, e ulu i kalani, e ulu i ka honua, e ulu i ka pae ana o Hawaii. E ho mai ka ike, e ho mai ka ikaika, e ho mai ike akamai, e ho mai ka maopopo pono, e ho mai ka ike pāpālua, e ho mai ka mana, na amakua mai kalahi ki akalakau, mai ka hooku I akalahalawai, na amakua I akahina kua I akahina alo, la ka akau I kalani, o kia I kalani, ue I kalani, nunulu I kalani, ka holo kalani, ea na pula pula o oko I ka pai aina, po e Hawaii, e malama oko I a o mako, e ulu I kalani, e ulu I ka nonua, ono e ulu I ka pai ano Hawaii e ho mai ka ike e ho mai ka ikaika e ho mai ka akamai e ho mai ka mau popopono e ho mai ka ike papalua e ho mai ka mana nā maku mai ka la hiki akala ka mai ka hooku I ka halawai nā maku I ka hina aku I ka hina alo la ka akau I kalani o kiha I kalani Owe I kalani, nunulu I kalani, ka holo I kalani. E ana pula pula a oko I ka poe Hawaii. E malama oko I a mako, e ulu I kalani. E ulu I ka honua, e ulu ka pai ano Hawaii. E homai I ka ike, e homai I ka ikaika, e homai I ka akamai. E homai I ka maa popopono, e homai I ka ike papalua. E homai I ka mana. A mama ua noa.
Mahalo, mahalo, Des. Okay, well, I'll see you guys in the next meeting. Mahalo.
There's one more thing. I'm going to take up last invitation to go to Shima's.
And Desmond Ping.
No, wait.
I take on top stick.
Yeah, he's like. Okay, mahalo, bye.
Aloha, everybody.
Uncle, I think we need to move to adjourn, don't we? Oh.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Hey. Hapai Kalima.
Oh, our chair is gone already. motion approved. Motion passed.